I love Christmas songs, but they are the hardest things in the world to sing and play. All right. Take your Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 54 through 58 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 58. And again, after we're done reading the scripture, we'll pray. While I'm praying, the choir is going to make their way up here, so you'll hear a little movement. You don't have to worry about it. Somebody's not attacking me. They wouldn't do it anyway. But you just remain still. Those of you in the choir, you can move. I'll pray a little extra longer. We'll make it happen here. Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 58. Brother Barnes, could you give me just a hair more volume? I think with all of the extra clothing because of people being cold today, it's absorbing the sound just a little bit. Thank you. That was much better right there. All right, let's read verses 54 through 58 responsively. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And let's finish on verse 58 together. Ready? "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And let's pray. Father, we need you today, Lord, in a special way. There will be places of religion and places of quote-unquote worship all over our country today that will misteach about Jesus and how to be saved and the influence of Jesus and how things came to be. I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, as the truth is preached, may we receive it. May we open our eyes to see what you say in the scripture and accept it as fact. Pray that you'd bless in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. That was done with a backup pianist, by the way. I appreciate that. Let me have your attention for just a little while, and I want to preach a sermon today that I don't think will be controversial once you hear me out. I think the title and I think the introduction is going to prick some of our religious misteaching in our lives, but I want to help you today. Much has been made of the Christmas story by false religion that is not true. Let me say that again. Much has been made of the Christmas story by false religion that is not true. Much has been made about one part of the Christmas story and has been expanded by man to be convenient for man, but it's not God's viewpoint of it. And I want to help you today. Mary was a clean, pure, spiritual young lady. The Bible says that she was a virgin. By the way, that means she had been pure. She had not had a physical relationship with any man at that time. By the way, that's the way it ought to be before you get married. And I've been preaching that for a long time. I'm going to go to my grave preaching that. The word virgin is not a perverted word. It's not a bad word. It is a good word. Now, Mary was not virgin born. Just so you know, if you look at the doctrine of the Catholic Church, they believe that Mary was virgin born, not just Jesus. You go to the Catholic Church's official website and they call Mary born as a virgin. They make her equal with God. That is a lie. Just so you know. Now, let me also say this. Not only was Mary not virgin born, Mary is not the mother of God. When And I've never been Catholic, but when the Catholics do their little, I guess it's rosary or whatever, you know, Hail Marys, whatever they got to do, they always say it this way, Mary, Mother of God. She is not the Mother of God. Mary was a virgin. Mary was a clean, pure, spiritual young lady who God used to be the vessel by which the body of Jesus would be born. Say, what body? Jesus was always the man part of God, but Jesus could not die because he had no sin in him. He had to put flesh on that could die. That's why you have John 1:1-3 and John 1:14. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It didn't say the Word was made man. It said the Word was made flesh. That means skin. Skin that could die and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Jesus Christ. Now, I could say it this way. Mary would have been like my daughter, or Hannah, or Julie Ann, or one of our other young ladies. Clean, pure, spiritual, virgin young ladies. That's all she was. She was a person to whom God came to and said, in your womb, because you are a spouse to Joseph, in your womb I will place the body of Jesus, and you will be the vessel by which he is born. Now, I want to take today and look at the story with a fresh eye. Why is all the attention on Mary and not Jesus? Why do we place so much attention on this one little, probably older teenager, college age type young adult lady? And we have allowed the vile false doctrines to affect our opinion of this. The whole purpose of the Christmas story is not about Mary, it's about Jesus. It wasn't about Mary, it's about Jesus. Now, I am in no way trying to pull down the fact that Mary wasn't a good, fine, upstanding young lady. I do not believe, as some would teach, that Mary had a physical relationship with a German soldier or a Roman soldier. Either of them have been quoted, and that Jesus was born as a result of that relationship. That's just as perverted. But Jesus, let me listen to this statement. But Jesus was God, not Mary. Just because she birthed his body did not make her have special access to Jesus to make Jesus do whatever you ask her to ask Jesus to do. That's humanism. Praying through Mary doesn't pull on the heartstrings of Jesus any more than praying through me. Everybody doing okay? Christmas is not about Mary and Joseph. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. See, we've looked at one little thing and built false doctrine around it. Now, today I want to show you truth. And it's not intended to hurt anybody, but usually when something's been taught so wrong so long, somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. You say, don't you care? No, I'd rather get the truth out than make you feel good. My daddy didn't always make me feel good. Matter of fact, sometimes he hurt me, but he prevented more harm by hurting me. Amen. You say, that's called warping a child's psyche. He didn't call it that, but he warped it a lot. Let me tell you. Now, I want to say something right here, right now. God wrote the words of God. God was quite able to put down by pen what his words were. By the way, those words were made before the foundation of the world. They were settled in heaven before the foundation of the world. He gave it to man, word by word, and these are God's words. When we read in Matthew chapter 13, they're not Matthew's words, they're God's words. It's not Matthew's opinion about what God said. It's not Matthew's view of what God said. It is what God said. Everybody doing okay? Now, I want you to notice God says here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Ooh. You see, God knew people were going to try to become like God. That was what the first temptation was about in Genesis chapter 3. That's what Lucifer tried in heaven. And God knew that man in his pride would lift himself above God. Everybody doing all right? You go to Isaiah chapter 14, you find out exactly how we live because Lucifer said that I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. He also tempted Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and said, look, you can eat of that tree. Wouldn't you like to be like God, knowing good and evil? Wouldn't you like to decide good and evil for yourself? You could be God. You don't need God to tell you. Sounds awful lot alike, doesn't it? Jesus here is an adult. Jesus is now preaching. He's past the age of 30. How old is he? Don't know exactly, but we know he's at least 30 years old here in Matthew chapter 13. He has been preaching on the earth. He's been healing people. He's been performing miracles. He's been raising the dead and casting out devils, or as Brother Hiles used to say, casting out the dead and raising up devils and all those kinds of things. And he's been preaching, helping and loving on people. And he goes back to his hometown, and the people are amazed at his preaching and his wisdom. And they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Isn't this that little boy that grew up in Joseph's house? Isn't this the little boy that grew up as a carpenter? What's he doing preaching? What's he doing with all these miracles about him? Something must not be right. Notice what they said. They said, is not this the carpenter's son? By the way, Mary did not remain a virgin after Jesus was born. Say, how do you know? Look at the rest of verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren. That in the English redneck version means brothers. Y'all get that? All right. His brothers, brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Jesus had four brothers. The very next verse. And his sisters, okay, plural. Sister means one. Sisters means two or more. That means Jesus had at least six siblings. I know the Catholic Church teaches that Joseph was an old man and he married Mary out of obligation, and these children were from his first wife. And that Joseph was so old that he did not have a physical relationship with Mary, and that she became pregnant with Jesus and never knew a man and remained a virgin the rest of her life. Say, how do you spell it? Don't know, but I can say it again. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1, just back a few pages. Look at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, watch the next statement. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That term doesn't mean before they met each other. That's in reference to the physical relationship between a husband and a wife. Look at the same chapter, verse number 25. You don't believe that? Let's see if you believe this. Let's look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Watch this. And he knew her not till she had brought forth Jesus, brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now, I'm not real smart, But I know that word till means until. It doesn't say he did not know her. He said he did not know her physically until after the birth of Jesus. Y'all doing okay? Later, Matthew 13, we find out he had four brothers and at least two sisters. She didn't remain a virgin. Religions will teach you that Mary didn't die, that God translated her to heaven because she was the mother of God and she shouldn't face death. That's wicked as hell. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, listen to this very carefully. Joseph was a very good man. Joseph was a good enough man. Now, can you imagine? By the way, this is the only time in world history this has ever taken place. Can you imagine being engaged? Josh and Camden, right? And they're I think, engaged because you said fiance. Okay. If not, son, you better go buy a ring real fast. Can you imagine them announcing that she's pregnant and they have not known one another physically? Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a rocket scientist, but that just does not compute real well. It's only happened once. Can you see where Joseph was kind of likely to look at Mary and say, right. Say, then how did he go about this? Well, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, son, it's time for you to believe him because this is from God. Now, if an angel came to you and told you that, it would tend to make you believe it a little more strongly. Amen. Now, by the way, it wasn't a 1,000-foot Jesus. God doesn't speak that way anymore. We have the fulfillment of the scriptures. We have the whole word of God. That's how we know that. He quit doing that. It was all cared for at the end of the New Testament. But let me say this. He went ahead and married her anyway, and he refrained himself physically from her until after Jesus was born. Now, not only that, he took care of Jesus as his own. Today, I want to take a little time and talk to you about Jesus as an adult man being known as the carpenter's son. It wasn't said about Jesus in his infancy. It wasn't said about Jesus in his childhood years. But from about the age of 12 on, Jesus was known as the carpenter's son. What a powerful statement. The carpenter's son. Let me give you just a few thoughts, and I believe this will help you today. Number one, God sent word to Mary once by his angel. God sent word to Joseph three times by the angel of the Lord. Let me say that again. Everything is made about how wonderful Mary was, but God only spoke to her one time. He spoke to Joseph no less than three times. Let me show you what I mean. God informed Mary that she was going to be the one to birth the child, Jesus Christ, the body. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord came unto her and said that you are going to be pregnant. The Holy Ghost will conceive seed in your womb for you. And we know you're clean and you're going to birth the body of the Savior. Now, take your Bible and I want to show you something. That was the only time God spoke to Mary. The only time. But I want to show you something about Joseph. Take your Bible, turn back to Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse number 20. Well, let's look at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, watch this, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, notice something. Joseph was spoken to by the angel of the Lord. Some say Gabriel, some say Michael. It doesn't say, it just says the angel of the Lord. I know this, the angel got his orders from headquarters straight from the mouth of God himself. That's all you need to worry about. You say, well, what was the angel's name? If God wanted you to know, he would have told you. Everybody doing all right? Let's quit worrying about who it was and just accept that it was. But watch this. God placed on Joseph not only telling him that the birth of Jesus was coming through Mary and she was a virgin, but also placed the responsibility of the naming of the child to Joseph, not Mary. It was the father's job to name the child in Hebrew culture. Well, you say, why did it go through Joseph? Joseph was going to be the earthly father, but it came from the father above. Joseph was just supposed to do what Jesus' father had commanded. And God placed on Joseph the naming of our Savior here on earth. Everybody doing all right? Look at Matthew chapter 2. Just same page or maybe a page over. Look at verse number 13. Let's look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Second time that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph, not Mary, was in the protection of Jesus. See, Herod wanted to destroy this child because he had heard that he's going to be the king of kings and the king of Israel. Herod was the king and didn't want competition, so he was going to destroy the competition. And the angel of the Lord came to Joseph, not Mary, came to Joseph and said, it's time for you to leave. I want you to go to Egypt. You stay there till I send you word that it's okay to come back. By the way, he didn't say just take the child. He said take his mother also. Look at verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Third time the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph was when it was time to move back from Egypt back to their homeland of Israel. Three times God spoke to Joseph. One time God spoke to Mary. How come we don't pray through Joseph and not Mary? Everybody doing all right? Did you know it's just as miraculous for a child to be born of Joseph as a virgin as it was Mary? Everybody doing okay? I feel like I'm on an island all by myself waiting for the crickets. God did not speak through Mary to Joseph and Jesus. God spoke through Joseph to Mary and Jesus. Boy, that's important. Say, well, then why did God have to talk to Mary at all? Ladies, can you imagine being pregnant and not having had a physical relation? Somebody's got to explain that one. It's only ever happened once, and it happened to her. Everybody doing okay? If Mary is so important, why did not God direct everything through Mary? It was all directed through Joseph. By the way, I believe Mary was a fine young lady. I don't think she was... I know she wasn't Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi. I don't think she's part of that kind of crowd. But I do know this. The Bible says that she was blessed among women. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to show you something. God chose his words very carefully. That's why man is not supposed to mess with them. That's why man's not supposed to rewrite them. He's supposed to live them. But I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. What's the very next word? Among. Does it say above? It says among. It said, blessed art thou among, not above women. God did not choose Mary because she was above all other women. He said, I will make you blessed among the women because you are the one chosen, but that does not make you better than anybody else. Everybody doing okay? Man has lifted Mary above women. Religion has lifted Mary above women, but God said, thou shalt be blessed among the women. Now, everybody doing okay? Matter of fact, same chapter, Luke chapter 1, I want to show you something here. Look at verse number 45. And blessed is she that believed. That means Mary. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Not myself, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced, watch this, in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. It doesn't say that they will call her holy. And she called Jesus God her Savior. By the way, Jesus is God. And Jesus is the Savior. And Mary didn't have any more pull than anybody else. She was simply the vessel God used to birth the body of Jesus that could die at Calvary. Now, why did she have to be virgin born? Because the bloodline is passed through the Father. Joseph could not be the father of Jesus because Joseph was a sinner and was going to die like every other sinner. God was Jesus's father. My daughter's bloodline comes through the Father, though my wife birthed her body and one of her brothers. The other one was hatched. Found him under a rock. I told that stork he got the wrong address. He wouldn't believe me. Now, wait a minute. The bloodline is passed through the Father. That's why Mary had to be a virgin, because God was Jesus's father. And man could not birth God. Everybody doing okay? Number two, I must hurry. Jesus was not biologically Joseph's, but Joseph trained Jesus as his own son. Joseph was not biologically Jesus's father, but Joseph trained Jesus as his own son. That's why we had in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 55, it said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" In other words, he was known by his biological father as being a carpenter. In Mark chapter 6, take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 6, and I want to show you something here that might surprise you. And I've got to hurry. I'm going to read quickly. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. You'll catch up. Mark 6. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' And they were offended at him." The Bible not only says this is the carpenter's son, but they call him the carpenter. See, in these days, the Hebrew culture was that a child had to follow in his dad's footsteps as far as careers go. In other words, let me put it this way. My oldest son is now pastoring in Kentucky. And yes, my wife and I are very pleased, very proud of him. My other son spent 1 year in Bible college. He's still there in Lexington. He's working a full-time job. He's serving God in the church as a layman and moving himself up as a young man in the world, and is still serving the Lord, but not going to go to Bible college, not going to be a preacher. I'm just as proud of both of them. Do you know, I never told my children they had to follow in my footsteps. By the way, good thing for you to do, parents. Not yours to do that with. They knew Jesus as the carpenter because in Hebrew culture, the child had to take on the career path of the father. It's called a caste system. It was developed by the Greeks and adopted by the Romans. And I won't go into it, but world history teaches that you couldn't move from one caste to another. By the way, that's why you get the term outcast. If you changed or tried to change a caste, they kicked you out and dropped you to the bottom, and you became an outcast. You were without a caste. Everybody catch that? That's where that term comes from. Now, Jesus was called the carpenter. He learned the trade of being a carpenter. And by the way, it was a lot different back then because you didn't go down to Home Depot or Lowe's, buy your tools and buy your lumber and go start building. And let me just go ahead and say right here, they didn't live in the Stone Age either. That's called evolution. Now, we still to this day have stone houses, brick houses, but there's also wood there. But they didn't go down to Lowe's and get their 2x6s and 2x8s and 2x4s and their 1x6s and their sheetrock. They had to do it all by hand. They went out and cut the wood down. They milled it out by hand. They split it all by hand. Then they had to fashion it by hand, cut it by hand. They didn't have skill saws, power saws. They didn't have nail guns. What a wonderful tool those are. Say why? Because, man, they're fun. I better not say that. They're just fun to whack with. I enjoy those things. Can I tell you something? Jesus was a man's man. Now, a carpenter wasn't high on the level of prominence and authority, but they were considered skillful people. By the way, they still are today. Nothing wrong with being a carpenter. Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry here. He did the carpenter's work. By the way, in the genealogy of Jesus, Luke chapter 3, we won't take time to turn there. Jesus, his genealogy is traced several times in the New Testament. Once through David because of the right to the throne. And once all the way back to Adam because Jesus was the second Adam. just so you know. And you see the genealogies there. But at the one in Luke chapter 3, you find out that it says Joseph, whose father he was supposed. Wow. God actually used that term. The supposed son of Joseph. Say why? Because this whole thing of Joseph not being Jesus' father is pretty confusing to most people. And he had to have a physical genealogy to be present. But just so you know, Joseph was not his father. Joseph was not biologically his father, but Joseph trained Jesus just as he did the other four boys and his daughters as one of his own. Number three, and I'll finish with this because y'all are hungry and tired. Amen. Number three, Jesus was God in the flesh, but he humbled himself to live a man's life without sin to pay our sin debt for us. Jesus was God in the flesh. But he humbled himself, put on a body that could die to pay our sin debt for us. By the way, listen to this. That was decided upon before God ever created man. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Not only that, he is the completer of our salvation. He not only wrote the plan, he told the Father, if it's ever needed, I'll do the plan. Everybody doing okay? Mary and Joseph did not need to teach Jesus who he was. He already knew. Do you know, as Jesus grew as a child, everybody think with me for a second. How many of you have a brother or a sister? Raise your hand. All right, just about everybody in here. How many of you, there's times you think your sibling thought that they did no wrong? Raise your hand. All right, you knew better, but they didn't. Can you imagine being Jesus' brother? He didn't lie. He didn't sin. What a bummer that is. Oh, Jesus did it. And Mary and Joseph, no, that's God in the flesh. What a bummer, man. Yeah, pass it off on Jesus. Mm-mm. Son, he's perfect. Well, he thinks he is. No, he is. You don't understand. My brother just thinks he's perfect. He was. Not mine, but theirs. I know my brother. Now, wait a minute. Mary and Joseph did not have to teach him who he was. In Luke chapter 2, verses 42 through 52, we won't take time to turn there, but Mary and Joseph, when Jesus was 12 years old, brought him. It was a taxing time. And they took him. He was in, and after a day and a half, after they left, they realized Joseph thought Mary had Jesus, and Mary thought Joseph had Jesus, and they didn't have him. And they had to go back a day and a half journey. Jesus had been there 3 days by himself in the temple teaching. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the high priests, and they're scratching their heads. They're scratching their heads at two things, not only Jesus' answers, but the questions he was asking them. He was stumping them with the questions of the Word of God and giving the answers to it. And the religious men of the day were going, where'd this kid come from? And when they found him, they said, look, your father and I have been looking for you. And he said, wish you not that I must be about my father's business. He wasn't building a house. He was in the temple. He wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about God, his father. And as a 12-year-old boy, he knew who he was. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun here. I don't think they had to look at Jesus and say, now Jesus, he's a little boy. Don't you do this because you're God. You can't sin now. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun here. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, let me read it to you. You need not turn there, but Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus became humbled. He took on a body of a man, though he was already the man part of God, and humbled himself. He left heaven, born of a virgin, lived on this life in flesh that could die, and served you and I, lived the righteousness necessary for you and I to go to heaven, and then let sinful man that he helped create crucify him at Calvary, shed his blood, die, be buried, 3 days and three nights later, conquered death as our high priest, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven so you and I didn't have to burn in hell. Jesus did all of that for you and me. By the way, it wasn't because of Mary. It was because of Jesus. It was not because of Joseph. It was because of Jesus. Listen to this very carefully. Jesus had to put on a body that could die and had to live long enough here and live enough righteousness. See, you say, well, I can get to heaven. My good will outweigh the bad. No, it won't. You're a sinner. You're a sinner bound for hell. But not only, you say, well, even if you could live your life without sinning, it's still not good enough to get you to heaven. You have to have the righteousness of God applied to your account. The Bible says that we're not saved by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of God. So there has to be enough good. By the way, that's why Jesus came and lived as a man on this earth about 33 years. There had to be that much righteousness lived in flesh to take care of man's sin. Say, well, what happens? The moment you get through this life realizing I've trusted myself, I've trusted my church membership, my baptism, I've been a good person. Whoa, I've come in contact with the gospel. Jesus Christ did all this for me. I can't get there on my own. And at the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved. The moment you do that, that is the word repent. You go from trusting yourself to trusting Jesus Christ. By the way, some feel sorry about it, some don't. There's no emotion attached to repentance. Repentance is not a sorrow. How sorry do you have to be? Repentance means a change of direction, means a 180. It's a military term. The word repent literally means to go from this direction, turn 180 degrees, and go the other direction. Well, when you go from trusting yourself and your righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you've just repented. And the act of trusting Jesus as your Savior is repentance. Everybody doing all right? Watch this. Not only that, your sin's forgiven, it's placed under the blood, it's as though it's not there, but also God applies the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. He didn't just wipe your sin away, he added the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your life so that when you get to heaven, God sees all the good that Jesus did on your account. Wow. So even if you could live without sin, which you cannot do, you already know that, you still haven't lived enough righteousness. You need the righteousness of God added to your life. So how do you do that? Realize you're a sinner, bound for hell, and you need what Jesus Christ did for you, and that alone to take you to heaven, get born again. That's all it takes. You see, false religions want to take Jesus' authority away from him. You see, at Calvary, they killed him because they said, well, he claims to be the Son of God. He didn't claim it. He was. Well, he's trying to lift himself up to be God. He was God. He was God. Now watch this. The Mormons, the Muslims, the Jehovah's false witnesses say, well, Jesus wasn't God. He was a prophet. He was the brother of Satan, and they were co-equal. That's out of the pit of hell. The Muslims believe that if you believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, and you believe in something called the Trinity, the three in one, that you believe in multiple gods. Can I tell you something? They're wrong. They're wrong. By the way, that's why they hate that book right there. Because that book is Jesus. He is the Word of God. False religion countries will not let that book in. Because it will expose their error. Everybody doing all right? Everybody listen very carefully here. I'm going to help you with something. You say, well, you're not very politically correct. Didn't try to be politically correct. I'm going to be biblically correct. Not worried about politics. I'm worried about man getting the truth. You see, Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a prince. Our president at the National Christmas Tree Lighting 2 weeks ago stood on the lawn across the street from the White House and said, this tree represents a prince that was born. His Muslim roots leaked out his jaws. Jesus wasn't a prince, he's the king. Not only that, he's the King of Kings. Everybody doing okay? Now, I realize he was the Prince of Peace. But notice what it says, talks about his kingdom. And in the same verse, it talks about him being king, not just prince. And it wasn't just a prince, it's the Prince of Peace. It wasn't just a prince, he was the Prince of Peace. Listen to me very carefully. This is why the battle is over the Word of God, because the battle is about Jesus and salvation. I believe in the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. It's not just that it's the best translation, it is God's. It's inspired, word for word, perfect, holy, preserved, and still alive. If it was not inspired, the word inspire means breathing life into. If it's dead inspirationally, it is a dead word of God, and we're all going to die and go to hell. For the word of God is quick. That doesn't mean it's fast. The word quick means life-giving. It gives life. If that book's dead, it can't give life. It has to give life. It has to be alive to give life. Everybody doing okay? Something dead cannot reproduce. Something dead cannot give life. It can lend nourishment, but it could not lend life. Didn't say that it was just going to be nourishment. It said that it is quick. It gives life. By the way, that's why it still applies to us today. Did you ever notice how the Bible adapts to every generation? Not because man rewrites it, but because it's alive. It's alive. That is why the battle for the Bible is such a big issue. That is why the battle for Jesus being the Word of God is such an issue. And let me just go ahead and say this right here. I'll say it tonight. they'll let just about any other version of the Bible in some of these countries, but they will not let the King James Bible in. You'll never found a major revival preached anywhere in the world didn't come from that one. In the last 300 years. Never. Not one. Now I realize there are other languages, but they'll line up with this one in translation and transliteration. Can I tell you something? The Word of God is vital. Brother Gus, just go through this way. I got some teenagers that have found an access and they think they're being quiet, but they're not. Everybody look this way. It's all right. Junior church is all right. Okay? They just escaped. But God caught them. Amen? Now listen to me very carefully here. I'm not bashing anybody's religion. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But I want you to realize something, that Jesus was known as the carpenter's son. God came and spoke to Joseph three times. He only came to Mary once. And we play so much about Mary being the virgin. Can I tell you something? It wasn't that that was the big deal. Jesus is the big deal. Mary had nothing to do with it other than she lived a clean life up until the time God said, "You're the one." Nothing to do with it. God did not say that Mary was to be worshipped. She was not to become God or greater than God. That's man's religion, not God's. Matter of fact, people knew Jesus as the carpenter's son. Carpenter's son. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wonder who today would say, "Preacher, I know 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I have trusted Jesus. I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm not talking about a church membership. But there's been a time where I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Preacher, I couldn't put my hand up. I won't embarrass you, won't call on you, won't embarrass you any more than I just did those that raised their hands." But who would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven someday, but I'd like to know." Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. I wonder. Maybe this Christmas season we ought to take some time and thank God for Jesus, not worry about Mary and Joseph as much. Some of you have denominational backgrounds and have family and you grew up and this is all new to you. But you say, "Preacher," somewhere tucked away inside what you preached today was something I needed personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands everywhere. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, I want you to stand to your feet and we will use this altar. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, now's the time. If you've been saved and never baptized, we'll take care of that right now. Maybe you'd like to join our church. You've been saved and baptized by immersion. We can take care of that.